Put your hands together for Pastor Ryan and Pastor Aaron. Would you do that this morning? Very grateful. I just told her on the way off, I know she doesn't like to cry in front of everybody, but I said, I like it when you cry. You make me cry too. I want you to look around by somebody and just tell them you matter to me. Do that, would you? Just say, you matter to me. How great is our God? He's wonderful to you and I, isn't he, though? He's wonderful to you and I. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Sense of my heart as I stand up here this morning. I'm going to talk about it, but the Lord just really impressed on my heart. I don't know if you're here or you're watching at home. You've been going through just an incredible dark time. Maybe it's even been this week. The Lord is going to help you through that, and you're not bad because of it. And we have to always remember the enemy capitalizes on moments in our lives of weakness, of fear, of moments of depression. The enemy capitalizes on that. He begins to infuse things into your life, into your mind. But he is a liar and the father of lies. Those things are not true. God has come to your life today to bring you hope, to bring you peace, to bring you life, everlasting life. Come on, say amen to me on that this morning. Lord, may that be so in somebody's life, I pray today. Either here or watching online, I pray you give them great peace and great hope today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. I want to read to you something this morning in remembering Black History Month, that in 1827, New York outlawed slavery. At the forefront of the Underground Railroad movement, New York had more anti-slavery organizations than any other state, and strong abolitionist leaders such as Harriet Tubman, who I spoke about last week, will probably be on a new wave of $20 bills. Frederick Douglass, who I'm going to speak about today for a minute, who that name, the Rochester Airport, I believe, will be dedicated to his name in the very near future, and John Brown. From the early 1800s to the end of the Civil War in 1865, thousands of people passed through New York as they traveled to Canada. Now, this is the cool part. Somewhere in Leroy, New York, lived an Underground Railroad station master by the name of Daniel McDonald, name spelled the same. He did not remain in this area long, but while he was here, he enlisted the help of a young boy, Elijah Huffelin, who lived in a stone house. The written accounts of Elijah Huffelin are most detailed records of the Leroy route. McDonald was described as a tall Scotsman, 6 feet tall, with piercing black eyes and boundless energy. He set up a small medicine business and used it as a front for his real mission, helping runaway slaves escape to Canada. He was called the Medicine Man, and young Huffelin took care of McDonald's horses and noticed that the horses were only used at night. McDonald never owned a gray or a white horse. One day, Huffelin saw McDonald talking with four black men, and they all got into a large wagon, and they took off. Not yet on that picture, guys. Did you put up Frederick Douglass's picture? Yeah. McDonald did not return for 2 days, but before he left, he confided in young Huffelin that he was indeed helping the black men to escape. This is cool. From this place, the route traveled to Morganville. Where's my Morganville people? Yeah. Traveled to Morganville past Horseshoe Lake Road to Elba and then to the Niagara River in Canada. Isn't that amazing? In December of 1847, now you can put the church up there. This is the church that I married, Art and Renee Nicometto, in. Put the picture of the church up, boys. How many years ago, Art? 21 years ago. In 1847, Frederick Douglass spoke at the Leroy Presbyterian Church, and while he did, hundreds gathered outside to protest him being there and speaking against slavery. They began to throw rocks at the church, and one account described someone using a rope to tie the door shut. And although Leroy had more abolitionists at the time than Rochester, this was still a dark time in our region's history. Frederick Douglass, an escaped slave, became one of the most charismatic and forceful leaders of the American abolition movement. He spent most of his productive 25 years of his life in Rochester, where he excelled as an orator and as editor of the newspaper The North Star and other renowned anti-slavery publications. Though he moved to Washington, D.C. in 1872, he continued to think of Rochester as his true home and was buried there following his death. That is quite a story, isn't it? I want to just encourage all of you, read some more of the history of Frederick Douglass. Read some of the history of Leroy, New York. I could not find anything where they came to or through Batavia, but I'm sure at some point that did happen. So, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, that you are enlightening us to our history. And I pray, God, that even in this moment in time, God, you will sensitize us to the times and the season that we are in. Lord, take the word today. Make it real in our lives and in our hearts, I pray. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said a great amen. Hey, isn't it a beautiful day out again? Just like Pastor Ryan said, I walked out today and I could sense, and I know you're going to laugh at me, I could sense spring on the other side of the snow and the cold. Come on, can you do that? You know, it's 6 weeks today till Easter Sunday. And last year, 2020, we didn't gather together on Easter Sunday. This is the craziest thing. There's a handful of us in here. We were doing it online. But this year, we're gathering together on Easter Sunday. And so praise the Lord. Connect with a small group this week as well. It'll be an encouragement to you. I'm just going to be just a few minutes this morning, but I want to just impart this to you, just the thought of lifting others up. We are walking through a time in our lives that will always be remembered as challenging, difficult, fearful, uncertain, and the list can go on and on. I read that the U.S. Census Bureau recently reported that a third of Americans show signs of clinical depression and anxiety. Now, I'm not going to leave you in this. I'm going to tell you the facts, and then we're going to come out of it. These and other mental conditions are becoming amplified during the pandemic. The Department of Psychiatry of Massachusetts General Hospital says there are various factors related to COVID that contribute to the increase of depression rates, including trauma from widespread disease, grief over the losses of life, fear of getting sick, unprecedented physical distancing. I'm going to preach a message on all in itself someday. Financial concerns, including unemployment, housing insecurity, loss of community, and reduced access to caregivers. Some of the natural resources, and I believe many of these are connected to spiritual help as well, for helping are, look at this, number one, serving others. Wow, serving others. I'm going to talk about it in another minute. Number two, scheduling positive engagements. Don't wait to get in the mood. Schedule it. If you'll put it on your calendar and commit to it, you'll do it. And some people, you haven't ventured out of your house. I've talked to several people in the last several weeks. Some people have not been out of their house since last March. You're hurting, and I understand, and this isn't condemnation, but you're going to have to make that first step. Exercise and eat healthy. And everybody said? And everybody that's doing it said a bigger amen? And everybody that's lying about that right now? I'm joking. Healthy sleep patterns. And then I like this. Connect regularly with people that lift you up. This is so important. Because when we encourage someone, we are imparting courage to them. Because the words that are spoken in your life today have an impact on what your life will be tomorrow. Did you hear what I just said? That goes good or bad. And by the way, if you want my notes, I forgot to say this in the first service, because I'm going to give you some things in a minute, and I know you're going to want to write them down. And write them down. Don't be lazy and say, oh, I'll just get his notes and look at them. Writing causes you to remember. But if you want my notes, PM at thecitychurch.com. When we encourage, we are imparting courage. Words spoken into your life today will have an impact on your life tomorrow. Good words or negative words? I've read this story before, but I thought it was so good. A group of frogs were traveling through the woods, and two of them fell into a deep pit. The other frogs peeked in and told the two that dropped in the pit they were as good as dead. It was impossible for them to come out. Ignoring the discouragement, the two frogs tried to jump out anyways. A while later, one of the frogs lost its spirit in the constant discouragement and gave up and eventually died. The second frog, he kept on jumping. And the more the others commented, you're going to die, you can't get out, the harder he tried. Finally, he jumped out. The frogs that were at the top telling him he wasn't going to get out, they said to him, didn't you hear us? And the little frog that made his way out said, I'm a little deaf. I just thought you were cheering me on. That's what we need in our lives. We need some people cheering us on. And I want to cheer you on today. And I want to lift you up today. And I know that as we lift one another up, we will also be lifted up. Well, how do you do that, Pastor? One, you got to learn. It has to become a part of who we are to share your lives with others. You have to share who God has made you. 1 John 3:16, we understand what love is when we realize that Christ gave his life for us. That means we must give our lives for the believers. When you share with others what God has given to you, something incredible happens in your life. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing for you and I to show it. And it's understanding what love is in our lives, and it's giving, it's understanding that we must give our lives for others. And there's going to be opportunity for each and every one of us to do that on a regular basis. Sharing our lives sometimes can be challenging, but when you share your lives, even when it's with people that can be rude, harsh, nasty, when you share your lives with them, that doesn't mean that you get rude and you get nasty. It means that when you do that, you reap something so much more incredible in your lives. It's the giving of our lives that brings healing to our lives. It's the act of giving that always brings greater life to us. And our culture has told us, if you give it away, you're not going to have it anymore. Keep it close. I remember, and I've said this before, years and years ago, I don't even think Garrett was born. In fact, I know he wasn't. Patty was going through something. She was discouraged. I don't remember. We got in the floor, on our living room floor. And I said, boys, say this to Ryan and Ben. I said, boys, we're going to pray for mom today. We're going to give her what we have and encourage her. And I think it was Ben at the time, he looked up at me and he says, "Daddy, if we give what we have to her, does that mean we won't have it anymore?" And I never forgot that. But the reality of it is that when you give, more comes into you. When you give love, more love comes into you. When you share your life, more life comes into you. Come on, say amen with me this morning. When you, whatever a man sows, that is what he is going to reap. And this may be difficult. Maybe you'll be presented this week to share your life and love with someone who has hurt you or has done wrong to you. Can I tell you that when you do that, there is an incredible blessing waiting for you on the other side of that. There is something so powerful and so wonderful that when you do that very thing, and I'm not telling you to go out and find the person that, you know, took advantage of you. I'm not telling you that. But God, He will create these opportunities. They'll come by you sometime. And you have the choice to share love and share life or to drop your head and say, "That jerk, I hope he gets flat tires. I hope the elastic of his shorts gets infected with 1,000 camel's fleas." You know, you think of all those things, but show love. I went blank on that a little bit. Show love. It'll lift you up. We are lifted and we lift others up when we accept one another. Romans 15:7, accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. You and I are called to accept people, not to judge them, not to criticize. And we have to watch the way we think about others. Even when we look at people, we think particular thoughts about people, we judge them, even without knowing them or knowing what they are going through or what they've been through. Be very cautious. 1 Corinthians 13:6-7 in the Passion Translation. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as a defeat, for it never gives up. How can I get better at this? By looking at the good in people, not accepting others as a result of just seeing the negative in them. Come on, I'll tell you, there's people that have been sinking in life because no one will believe in them. But you bring somebody, and I believe the house of God is the place. Somebody can come into the house of God, and this has happened all my life. Ever since we started the church, I've had people criticize me. "Well, do you know what that person did? And do you know who that one is? And do you know who she is or what he did or this and that?" And I said what the Apostle Paul said, "I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Because when I look at you and I look at you with the eyes that God and Jesus would look at you with, he doesn't look at you what you've been, what you've done, who you aren't or who you were. He looks at you who you're going to be, what your potential is, where he's going to take you, the power of God in your life. That's how Jesus looks at you and I. And when we look at others like that, something great happens in our lives. We lift them up and our lives are lifted up as well. We have to get better at accepting one another. We have to avoid these right and wrong dichotomies in our lives. Because it's very tempting to see the world, it's this way or that way. And the reality of it is, it's not. It's not always the way it is. And we have to sometimes just stop labeling what we think is right and the way it is all the time. Listen to the Proverbs 21:2. "You may think you're right at the time, but God thoroughly examines our motives." We could be right sometimes, but hey, newsflash, you could be wrong. And we have to learn in life. If we're going to build others up and build ourselves up, we got to learn to accept one another. And stop judging yourself. Because when you judge and are critical of yourself, it will result in how you treat others. Amen, Pastor. Stop judging yourself and criticizing yourself. Come on, you've been made in the image and the likeness of God. Come on, the glory, God's favor and His love and His light is shining in your life. Jesus was approached, one of them, an expert in the law in Matthew 22, tested him with a question, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and the mind. And then he said, then the second is like it, love your neighbor as you love you. And some of you are struggling with that. You say, yeah, but I don't know how to love me. You got to receive that love that Jesus has given you. 1 John 4:8-9, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we may live through him. It's not because I'm good. I'm not good. My wife will tell you, you're a bad boy, honey. But Jesus is a good man, and he has come to live inside of this bad boy and give me life and to give it to me more abundantly. And we are lifted and we lift others when we serve others. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that serves within the City Church and St. Anthony's. I mean, the sound guys, the camera guys, the ushers, the greeters, everybody, the people that work in the food pantry. Wednesday, the food giveaway. If you've never been, and I was so proud of the team last Wednesday. I mean, it was 9 degrees out. It was so cold out. I mean, it was cold. And here comes this army of people coming in to serve people that they don't know, that many have never met. And come on today, that's the work of Jesus in your life, that when you serve people that you don't know and cannot give anything back to you for the service that you're doing to them, I'm going to say this to you, this catches the attention of God's eye. And when you serve, you are completed. When you give, you receive. When we serve, we experience a depth of joy that we haven't had in our lives before. And so many people, when you serve, your life is impacted. Your life has changed. I forgot to mention all the singers, the worship leaders. Now, how about this worship team up here this morning? Weren't they just beautiful? When you serve, when you give, something happens in your own life. When we serve and we encourage one another, life comes into us. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how to stir up one another and to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together, is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Encouraging. Lifting one another up. When we serve. When we give of our lives. And I could talk about this so much. When you serve, your life is complete. When you give, your life is complete. We're going to have last Wednesday, the tractor trailer that was supposed to come didn't come because of the weather, the snow. This week, though, it's coming. We'll have 1,500 boxes to give away this coming Wednesday. I've said this before. If you've never come, you can come. You can fill up your vehicle because we'll have plenty. You can take it and give it to other people that we'll never know. You can take it to your community. And if you don't know some people that are in need, can I just tell you, live life a little more. You should know people around you that are suffering, that are in need. You should. That's just not our job. You're the church. You're the called out ones. You can do this. You got this. Number four, we are lifted and we lift others up when we have tolerance for one another. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Listen to this. This is why you'll want my notes, because you won't be able to write this fast. I just broke tolerance down a little bit. T means take advantage of every opportunity to be Christ-like. O, obey God and His Word. L, love others as yourself. James 2:8, again, here it is. Love your neighbor as yourself. E, expect there to be differences of opinion. R, respect others' values and opinions with grace. A, acknowledge that it could be challenging. N, never allow bitterness to take a root in your heart. C, call upon God for wisdom and discernment. E, express your opinion with careful consideration. And when you have tolerance for others, you lift them up and you will yourself will be lifted up. Because if you haven't needed tolerance in your life before, newsflash, you will. You will. And I said it earlier, I'll say it again, and I've said it all this year. Turn the news off, get the headlines, and turn on some Tasha Cobbs. Is that her name, Aaron? Turn on some worship. Lift up. Allow God to stretch the tolerance level in your life. And then lastly, five, show kindness to one another. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Because kindness is a byproduct of love. You can't have love and just be nasty. And nobody here, I know, is ever nasty. But I have met a couple people in my life, a time or two, that are nasty. And nasty is not a byproduct of love. Kindness is a byproduct of love. And Jesus says it this way in Luke 6:35, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Give, receive. Love, your reward is great. Come on, say, that's good, Pastor. I like that. Love, not just the lovable, the nasty as well. Man, that's tough, Lord. Why did you have to write that? We could have had Paul or Peter say that, and I would have found some theological way around it. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Jesus is. And He tells you and I to be that as well. And today, know that He loves you. Debbie, come on. You and I have to feel, you could feel lonely, but you don't have to stay there. You can be afraid, but you don't have to stay there. You can feel left out during the season, but you don't have to stay there. This is the church. We are the ecclesia or the ecclesia, whatever your definition, how you pronounce it. We are the church, and the gathering together like this is more important than we will ever realize. Actually, I believe that through this year, many of us have realized how important it is. And I just want to tell you, don't rush in and rush out. Don't just come to get your fix or turn on the TV. Well, I got to get this and then I'll be gone. You are the church. You are the people of God that are called to lift others up and to help people get through, to practice sharing your life, to practice accepting others, to practice serving one another, to have tolerance, and to be kind. And sometimes, when you and I are kind to someone who has been mean and nasty, someone that you know is ungrateful and taking advantage. And I'm telling you, this is an area of my life. I can handle mean and nasty better than most, because I've just had to. But the one thing that I struggle with the most is ungrateful people and people that take advantage. And I can spot it a mile away. And I struggle with it. But God wants me to learn to be kind and gentle to them as well. Because when we're kind and gentle, when we share our lives, when we have tolerance, when we serve others, no matter what they're doing or who they are, it moves the needle in our lives closer to the way God wants you and I to be and to live. Come on today, put your hands together for Jesus. And when you leave today, don't make a beeline for the door. Tell someone, you matter to me. You're amazing. You're important. Thank you. God bless you. Look at them. Linger. Walk slow through the crowd. And allow God to flow that life through you. And lift someone up. And when you do, you'll be lifted as well. Close your eyes. Bow your head with me. Father, I'm so grateful for your love and your grace today. I'm so grateful for that one or ones that maybe came in one way. God, you're going to let them come out a totally different way. Today, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone that is here or watching or listening, has never given their lives to you, I pray that right now, they will just say, Jesus, come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord. Lord, strengthen that one right now, I pray. Bring peace to them, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, say amen with me.
Would you stand with us, church? Thank you, Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon us. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon us. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Come on, sing it with us.
That's like saying, I receive it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you. Oh,
the Lord bless you. And keep you. Make his face shine upon us. Be great. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Oh,
amen. Amen. Amen.
all before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He's with you, he's with you in the morning and the evening, and you're coming and you're going and you're weeping and rejoicing. He's for you, he's for you, he's for you,
he's for you. He is for you, he is for you, he is for you, he is for you.
This house, Lord, that your great favor would be upon us as we seek you. Father, we thank you that you're found. We're thankful this morning. We're grateful this morning for your spirit in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, don't rush out this morning. Find somebody and love them big. We're so thankful and grateful for you. We'll see you real soon. God bless you.